In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Now I fear sometimes, well not sometimes, actually quite frequently, I fear that we the church, have a hard time leaning into wonder. That we are somehow suspicious of wonder, that we don't quite trust the wonderful. Don't really know where to put it, what to do with it. And often we come up with ways to set it over to one side. We figure out strategies to explain it away or ignore it. And this is likely the case for any number of reasons we could get into, from secularism to not so great catechesis to thinking that science and religion are at opposite ends of some ridiculously inadequate epistemological spectrum. Whatever the reason, we have a way of apologizing for the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So wonder for us has become a source of discomfort and disruption. Now granted, that is not particularly new. It has always been thus. What's new, I think, are the lengths the church will go to distance itself from the discomforting wonder that has founded it, that shapes it, and that fulfills it. So on this feast of the baptism of our Lord, I want to revel with you, however briefly, in the gratuitous and glorious wonder of the sacrament of baptism, of which we're given little hidden glimpses in our readings this evening. Often when folks talk about baptism these days, they talk about it as an initiatory rite. The person being baptized becomes a member of the church. And while that's not wrong, too often the talk of baptism ends there, and folks can get the impression that the church is like a club and baptism gets you in. The Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer goes a bit deeper. It says, "Holy baptism is the sacrament by which God adopts us as his children and makes us members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom of God." Now pause for a moment and consider that. In baptism, we become, by grace, a grace unearned but freely given, children of God, members of Christ's body. We are oned with Christ and inheritors of God's eternal kingdom. Now that is wonderful. It is entirely a work of grace, a thing of supernatural majesty and awe, but that is not all. The waters of baptism are the waters over which the Spirit of God hovered at the beginning of all things, and in the church, through the baptismal font, the Spirit is bringing forth a new creation, a new world patterned on Christ. The waters of baptism are the waters of the flood on which humanity was buoyed up in Noah. They're the waters of the Red Sea through which our ancestors in faith journeyed in their pilgrimage from bondage in Egypt to freedom in the land of promise, an image renewed and reenacted in our reading from Joshua earlier. And we are led too in baptism through those waters from bondage to sin and death to the liberty of love's resurrection life. The waters of baptism are the waters of the Jordan in which Jesus was baptized. And here's the wonderfulness of this connection. If in baptism we are oned with Christ, made members of his body, then our baptisms were present there in his baptism. In him, we were in the Jordan. And our baptisms are an unfolding through all of space and time of his baptism. And the voice he heard joyfully singing from heaven, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." In him and through him, those words are said of us and to us as well. In baptism, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit, really and truly takes up residence in a human soul, the King of Love's eternal glory, enthroning himself in a human heart, in a human life, planting there a seed of grace which, nurtured through prayer, the practice of the faith, watered with the grace imparted in the other sacraments, especially confession and the Eucharist, tended by Christ through the means of grace he provides for his body, the seed can grow into a life that blossoms and flowers forth with all the virtues, in righteousness and humility, bearing the fruits of repentance. In baptism, we die to the world in, with, and through Christ, and we live in, with, and through Christ to God. The cherub's flaming sword that guards the tree of life is extinguished in baptism's flood, and we find ourselves citizens of paradise, standing at the foot of that tree, the tree of the cross, from which our Lord and King reigns, the pattern of death undone in us, washed away by the blood and water that flowed from his wounded side, his own pattern of love alive now in us. In the waters of baptism, we become sources of living water for the world. We become tributaries of the great river of grace that flows from the very throne of God to green the desert of this dying world. Now, hopefully, all of that does indeed sound wonderful. And I can tell you that it is all the more wonderful for being true. And you'd be within your rights to ask, if it is true, why is it so many Christian folks, baptized folks, why is it so many can be so horrible? If all that is true, why is there still so much pain and suffering in this world? And you may well ask, why is there still death and sin in my own life? Oh, beloved, it is easy to forget that baptism is not just a singular, powerfully wonderful event in a human life, but it inaugurates an ongoing process of transformation, the unfolding of grace, the unfolding of wonder's disruptive power to undo in us the patterns of sin and self with which we are comfortable and in which we may not always know we are entangled. The grace of baptism is nourished through ascesis, through the discipline of prayer, through the practice of the faith, through recourse to the sacraments, through the life of the church. And if we refuse this practice, this discipline, this life, is it any wonder that the fruits of justice, of goodness, of gentleness, of faithfulness, of joy, of love, is it any wonder that they wither on the vine? The work of faith, the work of renewal, the work of redemption, the work of loving and serving others is a work of grace with which we cooperate but do not ourselves originate. And it begins with the uncomfortable task, again, the work of asceticism, of setting self aside to let grace, to let love shine in and through us. Our reading from Hebrews this evening speaks to all of this. Jesus, it says, is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. The human life of Jesus Christ, his birth, his teaching, his miracles, his passion, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, perfectly expresses the shape of God's life of love. Now that phrase, express image, translates the Greek word charakter, from which we get the word character. The consistent patterns of thinking and behaving that express who and what we are. But the Greek charakter means something more like the impression that a stamp makes, or the tool or scribe an engraver uses to engrave an image, or even the engraver themselves in the act of engraving. Too often we believe that we are the ones doing the engraving. We make ourselves, we do it ourselves, we form and forge ourselves. We are the authors of our character. We make our own goodness. We are the heroes of every story. But beloved, that is precisely what the church calls sin. And it calls us to something new and discomforting. It calls us in baptism to receive the character of the glory of God, engraved on our hearts by the very expression of that glory who once wrought our redemption on the cross with the sharpness of thorn and spear and nail. It calls us in baptism to the difficult, disruptive, and discomforting task of allowing the Word of God to be the scribe of God that will inscribe God in our lives. The Word that, in being sharp enough to separate soul from spirit, is sharp enough to separate from us the weight of sin to which we cling so closely, and gentle and gracious enough to engrave eternity's glory on our finite mortal hearts. For make no mistake, through baptism, by grace, in Christ, that glory becomes a real possibility of the human. The church calls us to be baptized, yes. And if you're hearing that call today, I pray that you will reach out to me or any of the clergy here to talk about being baptized at the Easter Vigil on April 8th. But the church calls us to be baptized, and it calls us to receive the grace to continue the work of baptism, the work of the author of our faith, the Lord of love, Jesus Christ, to give us his own character, that the shape of God's life may be perfectly expressed in us, that our death may be undone and God's life may be ours, that the birth, teaching, miracles, passion, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ, of love incarnate and redeeming and self-giving, God's cruciform glory may be revealed in us. The mystery, the sacrament of baptism, is wonderful. Let us, by grace, through faith, lean in to the wonder. Consent to be disrupted and undone, that we may more fully, more boldly live that wonder, the wonder of love, to the greater glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.